All right, if you'll go to Ephesians 1:19, we'll get started on the word today. It's going to be a good one, and you're going to be blessed. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1:19. Say glory when you get there.
Glory.
Ooh, you are fast turners. Because your Bible opens to Ephesians, doesn't it? In my earliest KCM Bible, that was the first page that fell out, was Ephesians 1. Because it was so used. And you say, well, why is that? Because that's where you need to be reading. Yeah. You need to read the epistles. That's who you are.
True.
The Old Testament's wonderful. The Gospels are wonderful. But if you want to find out about you, you need to read the epistles, the letters. Amen. And so Ephesians is one of the greatest. And it says there, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Say power.
Power.
To usward. To usward. Yes. Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Listen, the same power. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
The same power in the actual event is in the message. The same power that was in the actual event is in this word. The same power when it comes off the page and is spoken out of you in faith.
Yes.
The same power is there. The same power. And that power is available to us. This scripture tells us that God has given us this very same power. How many of you know how nuclear power works? Anybody know? Three people, okay. Four of you, actually, I think. That's good, because I didn't know exactly how it works, so I looked it up. But nuclear energy, actually right now, is powering 17% of the world's electricity. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. It powers submarines. It powers aircraft carriers. And a lot of other things. Now, everybody in here knows this. When a single atom splits, an enormous amount of energy is released, right?
Right.
You learned that in school. So, and we know this, that uranium is the heaviest and best example of a natural radioactive material, uranium. You hear that? Remember you heard everyone talking in the news about Iran's getting uranium, Iran's getting, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because it's the element that is the most powerful. To be used, it's the heaviest. So the most commonly known nuclear power is a material called U-235. Okay. U-235. And when it undergoes fission, an immense amount of energy is produced. So the process occurs quickly. It's about 1/1,000th of a second. Boom. Faster than I said boom. So, for fission to be effective, the uranium sample must be enriched. Are y'all think I'm saying fission? It's F-I-S-S-I-O-N, but it's pronounced fission. Okay. Now, so we're not going fishing right now. We're talking about fission. So it has to be enriched. Now, I want to back up because I want you to get this point. It has to be enriched. Okay. It has to be enriched. It has to be enriched in order to work. Okay. Just making sure you get that point, because you'll miss the sermon if you don't get that point. So it contains about 2% or 3% of the U-235. Now, in a nuclear bomb, you want uranium to undergo the fission as quickly as possible, release all of its power in a millionth of a second, just... Right? Y'all know this stuff. Now, a pound of highly enriched uranium, a pound used to power a nuclear submarine equals 1 million gallons of gasoline.
Wow.
Okay? And that pound is smaller than a basketball. Okay? So, but the gasoline would take a cube size of a 5-story building. So this little bitty package can do as much as a cube 5-story building.
Wow.
That it would take just to power that submarine. Just as uranium can be enriched, church, your faith can be enriched.
Right.
And we're talking power here. Yeah. Amen. So the first thing that you want knowledge of, today anyway, is dunamis. Now, most of us Spirit-filled Christians know what dunamis is. It's explosive power. Amen. So it's the God kind of power. It's inherent power. It's the power performing miracles. It's moral power. It's excellence of soul, the power and influence that belongs to wealth and riches. It's the power and resources arising from numbers. It's the power consisting in resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. And most of all, it's explosive power. Dunamis happened at the resurrection. Dunamis happened at Lazarus' resurrection. Dunamis happened when the woman touched his garment. Power was released. Power is released. Amen? And so we understand that our faith must be enriched with power. Are you getting this? So the power is in the blood of Jesus. And it cleanses us from the root of all sin. And this same power raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that made you a new creation. That's what Ephesians is going to be talking about there in those scriptures. That power, when you were born again, you may not have even felt something. You maybe not didn't feel it. But power hits your spirit and turns your light on. And it's been residing there. Now, you may have it turned down really low, but it's there.
Glory.
The resurrection power of God is what's going to get you out of here on the rapture.
Yeah.
It's what's going to get if your body did kick you out, which it's not going to. But if your body kicked you out and you went to heaven, that's that power. The power that you, that Catherine Kuhlman used, the power that Oral Roberts used, the power that you see operating in the glory realm, the power at Azusa Street, the power at all of the awakenings, the power that's being released now in the earth, it's dunamis power.
It is.
It's Holy Ghost power.
Yeah.
It's the Spirit of God. Amen. And so we need to be enriched with this power. And it's activated when you speak the language of faith. It's like nuclear power, except it's much greater. It's the energy to explode and stop darkness and death and bring life and light. That's what it does. So listen, what I'm trying to tell you is just like there's a formula for substance for the U-235. Just like there's a substance or a formula to get things together to make the nuclear power work, there is absolutely a formula to get this power to work and to get this power to work in faith. And guess what? You know it. You absolutely know what I'm about to say. Here's the formula. You believe it in your heart and you speak it out your mouth. That is the formula.
Wow.
Believing it in your heart. Believing it in your spirit. Not mental assent.
Yeah.
Not knowing it up here, but you actually believe it in your heart and you speak it out your mouth in a systematic discourse.
Yeah.
Boom.
You're going to have some power. You're going to have your faith enriched. So you have the promises. We know we have the promises, don't we? I think if you've been coming to a church like this or you've been here for any length of time, you understand that the promises are written in this word. And you go in and you find these promises and you put them in your heart until you believe them. And then you speak them out your mouth. And that's how faith works. And that's how the promises will come to pass in your life.
Amen.
We know that. Mm-hmm. But the other ingredient is power. It's power. So faith is enriched and by this power. Faith is also enriched by praying in the Spirit. Okay? It's enriched when you pray in the Spirit, when the language of the Holy Spirit. Hey, that's why we all go in there at 9:40 and pray. You may go in there and pray in the Spirit with us, and we do it so quick and everything, you may not feel a thing. But by the time we get in here, power starts being released. It'll be released, see? You're building up your most holy faith, and then power is released. Things begin to happen when you pray in the Spirit. And then when we're actually preaching the Word, like right now, power is being released. I don't know how many of you can sense that. I think many of you do. But there's power being released in this room. When the Word of God is preached, something is actually happening. If you'll tune in, you're able to tell that. Amen. Now think about this. When they were in the upper room, they're in one accord, and here comes the power. And what do? They go out there. I'm going to say it like a Pentecostal, talking in tongues. They go out there praying in other languages. That's when the power, hey, when the power hit them, they started praying and talking in other languages. Get the message here. This is enrichment. This is enrichment. When you pray in your prayer language, this is enrichment, and it upcharges the power. And listen, what happened? Then Peter goes out there and starts preaching. And he preaches the Word. That's power. And then 3,000 people get saved, and now 3,000 more people have power.
Praise God.
Listen to Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. That's how this thing works. Now, listen, it's not just enough to know the Word of God. You have to know the God of the Word. Listen to Romans 4:17. You know this well. I'm sure it's all marked up in your Bible. It's about Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So the power of God quickened Abraham's body, did it? Made it alive. So that he could have babies. But I want you to see something. The scripture said before him. Okay? In other words, before him whom he believed, it said. Before him whom he believed. In another translation, it just said, purely says, in his presence. Yeah. So Abraham in his presence. Are you with me? As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations in his presence who believed God. So Abraham was believing God in God's presence.
Oh, okay. That's good.
His faith, I'm going to say it like this. His faith was loaded with God's presence.
Wow.
So it's loaded with the promises. It's loaded with the power, and it's loaded with the presence.
Wow. Glory.
This is how your faith is enriched.
Wow, that's so good.
Glory. Promises, put them in your heart. Mm-hmm. Power, pray in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And presence.
Wow. Praise God.
Amen.
Yes.
The Bible says, That Abraham, Genesis 19:27 says, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. He had a habit of getting up and standing before the Lord and praying. He got in God's presence every day. Mark Hankins says that some folks are self-conscious, some are people conscious, some are devil conscious, some are time conscious, and some are unconscious. And it sounds like him, doesn't it? But we need to be God conscious. So Abraham's flowing in his life. He's God conscious. He's conscious of the presence of God. Glory to God. He's conscious that God is there. So once again, we know he had the promises. We know that he had the power. Both of those things are enriching his faith. And then the number three is we know that he had the presence of God. He stood before him. He had the word and he had the promises. So he didn't just have the word of God. He had the God of the word.
That's good.
Holy Spirit wrote the word, church. You know, as we're from the word tribe, but the word tribe needs to remember this, that there's a God of that word.
Amen.
And we need to be aware of his presence.
Yes.
Are you with me today?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So basically what we'd say is he was a friend of God.
Yes.
He communed with God. Sometimes it seems like believers try to win the faith fight without getting before God. They quote the scriptures, but they don't access the presence. They try to believe without spending time with him. So then it just becomes a machine, you know.
Yeah.
I declare, blah, 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 blah. But being in his presence, spending time in his, you can declare, I hope you declare and confess all day long, but do it in his presence or have some time in his presence. So the rest of the day, it's promises that are power packed with his presence. Amen. So, you know, they just want to believe from a distance, but you can't believe God from a distance. There's no long distance faith. You have to be up close to him. You need to know him. Well, if you just give me four things to do, then I could just do it. Well, I have given you four things to do for 21 years. But here's the thing. You have to know him. He's a person. How do I know what Kevin will do? Because I know him. Because I've spent time with him. I know what he would do. I know if I called him, he would come. I know it. Because I know Kevin. But see, if you don't know, if God's just a religion to you and not a person to you, amen. Promises, power, presence. The scripture says that we draw near, close to the heart of God and believe his presence. That's Hebrews 10:19-23. So let us not stand at a distance as if God were inaccessible. He's accessible to us. He loves us. He's right there. We draw near with a sincere and affectionate heart and full assurance of faith with the most cheerful expectation of his blessing. I know you will. I know you will. I know you'll come through. I know you'll do this for me. I know it. I know it. I know you'll do it.
Wow.
He did it before. He'll do it again. He hasn't changed. He's for us and not against us. He will come through. Amen. Well, how do we know? Promises. Well, how do we get it? Power, presence. That's how we get it. Presence. These are the things that are going to enrich your faith. Yeah, I could do that, Lord. The Lord keeps prompting me about this, so I think I better do this because, you know, presence. Genesis 17. You'll have to help me with this, Lord. So now this chapter starts where God has been quiet for 13 years because of Ishmael.
Yeah.
Everybody know the story? They decided to figure out how to have a child on their own. Sarah said, "Why don't you sleep with the maid and we'll get a baby out of that?" And he says, "Oh, well, okay." And so he yeah, let's leave that alone. Anyway, so that messes up everything. God's quiet for 13 years, okay? So he's 90 years old. When Abram was 90 years old, 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and thou be perfect." And we're talking about how he knew God like he knew him. Right here, God changed names on him. Before this, he's Elohim. He's the creator. Now God says, "Hey, I'm God Almighty." If we translated that, it'd be, "Hey, I'm El Shaddai." Now, El Shaddai means, yes, you're welcome. El Shaddai says, "I am the God that can change nature if I need to help you with something." That's what it means, the breasty one, the one that can feed all of his children. And it also means the one that, even though I'm the creator and I've set things in motion, I reserve the right to change someone's body. I reserve the right to cause the earth to be still so the sun would be still for Joshua. I reserve the right for all of these things to happen. I can do these things. I'm El Shaddai. Now, what did that do for Abraham? Well, okay, he can do it. He knew who God was. He's in his presence, and he learns who God is. And then he starts talking covenant to him. Well, Abraham is a man of the East. He understands covenant. When you swear, you swear. I don't have time to talk about that. So he sees God with a new name. He sees that he's making a covenant with him. Now, these are very weighty things. And they belong to you. God is your El Shaddai. And he's willing. He's got hesed towards you. He's willing to come in and help you any way he can. He is not the one holding out on you. And he's made a covenant with you. And your representative was Jesus. See, a covenant is unto death. Jesus paid for our side because we failed and we would have died except that Jesus came in. So now you have God and Jesus in a covenant and neither one of them can fail, which means you don't have to fail. So you've got this failure-free covenant of the one who will do it. And then you also know that he can change anything he wants to. Just like the man that I heard about that somehow got out of the car. How many days ago was that? He flipped his car and he, is that your relative? He flipped his car. Somebody broke the window. Help me if I tell it wrong. They broke the window and pulled him out. And said everything's going to be all right. Now, there was no one there except a lady. And when the police came. And they said self-extraction, that he got out himself. That's El Shaddai sending angels. That's how he got out. Amen. You probably have a story like that. You may have 20 stories like that. El Shaddai will do it for you. Amen. You got to have confidence in him. Enrich your faith today, church, by hearing this. Will he save your life? Yeah. Why? Because we have a promise. But you got to say that promise. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Somebody was praying over that boy.
Yeah. Amen.
In fact, we prayed over everyone in the for the weather. You probably did too.
Yep. Praise God.
We prayed that people would, you know, they're driving and stuff. And amen. And so El Shaddai answered that prayer. He sent angelic forces. It's totally possible. Totally possible. God can do these things for you. Well, I know, but I just don't know how I'm ever going to get out. I'm just loathe myself. I'm just filled yuck and blah, blah, blah. God can fix that. God picked you to come here today to hear this word, to tell you how much he loves you, how much he'll do for you, how much power he's given you, how many promises he's given you, and how you can live in his presence. He picked you. I can't resist this, but I thought when I got back to my seat after the Lord prompted me to go talk to Jeff, I thought, man, Jeff is special. I don't know if I've ever literally stopped a worship service before, but God said, you do it and you do it now. And I'm like, but think about that God did that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you've been thinking about that, Jeff, but the idea that that he would just say, just for you, when you get a prophetic word, God's picking you out. And he's telling you something. He's talking to you about power and promises and presence and what he'll do for you. Okay, this changed Abraham's life. And so Abraham goes full force ahead. They have Isaac, right? And all, you know, they make it through all that. But when Sarah died, Abraham kept going. I mean, he got him another wife. They had some more children. That's so important to understand that promise went on. That power went on. That presence went on. I think about the times I've said, in the name of Jesus, I bind this to us until blah, 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 you know. I've done it with land. And I know y'all know the story about the old ranch on Stastny. Uh-huh. And we bound that place to us. Out of 50 people, we got the place. We lived there as long as we wanted to. When we moved, nobody else moved in except Kelly, the street boy, was in there a little bit. We'd go over and see him, pray for him. But nobody bought the place, and we kept driving by there. And it was like, you know, Lord, why can't they sell that place? But we just go on by. And then one day we were driving by there, and the Lord said, when are you going to release that? Mom went, oh, those words are powerful. When we released it, it was just a couple of months, and someone was in there with all their machinery and stuff. Yeah, condos are there now. The ranch was better, but hey. Your words are powerful. Don't bind them up. Don't bind your life up. Don't bind your life up. Don't bind your life up. Stick to the promises. Stick to the power. Stick to the presence. And watch your mouth. You have to. You have to. If you're going to use your faith, you're going to have to do this. We actually had people that came into the church about 2 weeks after it started. I'm sure Bill remembers. And Ron was probably there by then. I'm not sure. But Gladys and Eldred. But they said, are we going to have to change the way we talk? I don't know if you remember that. But I was like, well, you don't have to, but that's what we preach. They did not come back. And then I had someone else come to the church for a while, and they said, well, we don't want to do the faith stuff. We just want miracles. Just let God do it. Just let God do it. That's like saying, I'll marry you, but I'm not going to have anything to do with you. I'll make no request. I'll say nothing to you. I'll help you with nothing. I won't serve you. I won't do anything, but I'll marry you. Yeah. That's the same thing. It doesn't work. We're in relationship with Father God, God Almighty. But the thing is he's bigger than we are. He's bigger, so he'll do all this. Pastor, are you trying to convince us that God will do something for us? Yes, because he will. I want to get your hopes up. I want you to go look at the promises. I want you to stand before God. Walk outside there in your backyard and say, here I am, Lord.
Yeah.
He'll start moving and flowing. If you'll just let him in that little bitty bit, he'll start doing something.
Right.
It's just that you keep negating what he's doing with your mouth.
Boom.
We exercise our right of access. We have to exercise it. God's chosen us to stand before him. That's what he wants us to do. His plan has always been for us to be in his presence. That's what he wants. Jessie was telling us her testimony about moving to Marble Falls the other day. And she was talking about the other night we were eating dinner and she was saying, you know, the Lord told me to move to Marble Falls. And me and Larry, we were getting together, but we weren't quite, I think y'all weren't quite engaged, but you were thinking about it. And I thought in my mind, man, I'm glad Larry, I bet Larry was glad when she said she was moving to Marble Falls. I bet he was just really, you know, I bet he was just felt so good about that, you know. He felt really good. That's how the Lord feels about you when you move in. Oh, you want me to do this for you. You want me to love you. You want me to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You want me to. You actually want me to anoint you. That's what God's saying. He's so thrilled. He is so thrilled with you and loves you so much. And you got to stop hating yourself. Because you're all right. Yeah, Pastor, but you don't know what I've been through and what I've done. Listen, there's not a person within the sound of my voice that hasn't had some sort of abuse, that have been unloved, that have been rejected. You can come through.
Yes.
When God found me, my life was as far down in the pit as you. It was bad. Whole family broken up. Both parents died within 11 months of each other. Divorce, all kinds of junk. Drinking, everything, all that stuff. But God. And it just took just a little bit. I heard these words. God is a good God. And I went, he is? Because that's not what they taught us. They said, you better watch out. Turban! So I'm telling you, if you don't have all your ducks in a row right now, you're going to be all right. God's not looking, trying to get you to be perfect before you receive anything. This is not about earning. This is about faith. Immediately, it helped very much that I hooked up with a faith expert. But immediately, my faith started helping me gain ground. Immediately, it did. Immediately, I gained ground. Immediately, God led us to a faith church. Immediately. And to a faith neighbor. Someone who immediately. I mean, we were a few years before we met you, but it wasn't very long. Not that long. So I'm telling you, he's working today. He's trying to get you to cross over the line today and say, you know what, I'm all right. If you feel rejected today, I'm telling you, just put Christ right in the center today. Just start thinking about loving other people. Start caring about other people. Start thinking about serving other people. Start thinking about that. You are good. Well, I know, Pastor, but life still hasn't been good. Bad things have happened in my family. Church, we've gone through suicide. We've gone through all kinds of death. We've gone through all of those things in our personal area.
Yeah.
And here we are, and we don't smell like smoke.
Yeah.
We went through as much lack as you wouldn't believe. We ate Barbaritos and Top Ramen noodles for days.
Yep.
Those Barbaritos were good, though. When we worked, we only made enough money to go to Taco Bell. But as soon as we put our faith into action, God started moving us out. Well, you don't know, but I'm drinking and partying. So, God let us out. Well, you don't know, but I've been cheating. God will lead you out. Well, you don't know, but I've done this and that. I'm way behind on with the IRS. God will lead you out. Well, you know, I have credit card bills. See, that's the problem right now in this world is everybody's charging everything. But let me tell you something. Don't grieve over it. God will lead you out. He'll pay it off. He's done it for us. He's done it for y'all. He's done it for y'all. There are people in here who are debt free. But I have this big old house payment. Well, God will get you debt free. Yes, he will. There are success stories. When I look around at faces, I see success stories of people in here that when they got with God, and you're one of them, when you got with God and he helped you get into that thing, into that flow. One person helped us, Lee Datesman, and he said, "I'll show you how to get out of debt." And he did. And but you know what? We didn't have enough money to make enough money to get out of debt. We were very underpaid at the time where we worked. Bink, bink. But what did God do? He sent us Lee, and then he sent us this huge job. If you chose to believe, would he send you today? What did you say to me? You said that there's someone in your life coming. Can you quote it to me? That
about your future?
Yeah.
To declare over the people that are going to be your next level.
Your next level people.
Yeah.
That's good right there. There are people that are your next level people. You're like, oh, you mean they're going to pay my way? No, they're going to help help you with your change. They're going to stand with you. So let's pray about that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person within the sound of my voice, we believe we receive our next level people. Those who will cause us to move forward in every way, whether they be a client, whether they be a friend, whether they be a preacher, whether they be someone right here in this room. We declare that we are moved to the next level, and we're moved to the next level by people in Jesus' name. And I would like to say something to you about that. Please understand that it is people in your life by association. People are like elevators. They're either going to take you up or take you down. Remember that, guys. It is the truth. They're either going to take you up or take you down. And so what we have to do is, it doesn't mean that you hate anyone or disqualify or say, well, you're bad, I can't hang around you. You just know how to confidently build your circles and how you trust certain people. We love all people. That's our job. We love all people. You mean we're supposed to love those ones, you know. Yes, you are. It's our job to love them.
Yep.
It's God's job to change them. And that's the truth. It's your job to love me. It's God's love to change me. It's my job to love you. It's God's job to change you. If I fretted over everyone that this is, I would have quit a long time ago. We just cannot do that. We have to stand strong for each other. No quitting. No quitting.
No quitting.
But it's this favor, as we were talking about, it's this favor that you will run into, or someone will help you. Someone helped you pay your way through something. Someone gave you an opportunity. Someone mentored you. Someone taught you. Someone just kept saying, come on, you can do it. someone might have said one good thing about you. Maybe your name got circled in the book in red. Thank you, Pastor John Holler, for circling my name. I will never let go of that, ever. There's a couple that belong to a family in this church, and they were doing really bad and didn't have any money, and I don't know, we gave them $100 or $200. I don't remember what it was. They were so thrilled. You remember that? They were so thrilled about it and just so blessed by us. And now they do very well.
Yeah.
It just got into their system, and the favor of God got into their system,
yeah,
and they just took off. Can I tell you that you're sitting next to someone right now? You're looking at people right now that are your next level people. Some of these people in here are your next level people. I pray you won't ever leave here going, Victor Church never did anything for me. But most of all, I pray that you never go away from God saying, God never did anything for me. Because if you'll just barely step in, if you'll just come in, he'll take you. He will take you in a minute, and he will change your life forever.
Yes, he will.
Because he loves you.
Yeah.
He loves you.
Glory.
You're not too messed up for him.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I don't know how I could have been more messed up when he came in. I just don't know how that could have been any worse. But he did something. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you for being Almighty God, being El Shaddai. Thank you for that, Lord. We have access to the King. You know, David had access to the presence of God, and he brought it to a whole nation. Did you hear what I just said? David had access to God, and he brought it to a whole nation. Like, well, I don't know if I can. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. You can bring the presence of God.
Yes.
When you show up, the presence of God can show up.
Yep.
You receive that today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We have to exercise that right of access. We have to come before him whom we believe. I believe you, Lord. I believe you. I believe you'll turn this around, turn that around, make this right, make this work, make this relationship good, change my body, change my will. Now I have my own will, but I can will to will. Willing to be willing. That's one of the biggest mistakes. Well, I know God wants me to. I'll do it because I'm obedient. No, he asks us to be willing and obedient.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Presence, promises, and power. That's how you're going to enrich your faith. You know we're talking about faith these weeks, right?
Yeah.
This is helping you get 3 John 2.
Yeah.
This is what's helping you get that. This is what's helping you get health.
Yeah.
This is what's helping you get well. Woo, did you feel that just then? Glory to God.
Yeah.
This is what's going.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what's working for you.
Yeah.
Get your faith enriched.
Yeah.
You need some steps? Just go to Psalm 103.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Forget not his benefits. There's some promises.
Yeah.
Pray in the Spirit. You know how to do it.
Amen.
Well, I don't do that. Well, it's time.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
You can. Get in his presence. Just like, you know, what do y'all say? Hanging out. I'm going to go hang out with so-and-so. Hang out with God for a few minutes and he'll say something to you. Father, we bless those watching online. You love them and this is their day. We thank you that we will hear reports of the great things that you have done with the people that are listening today. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Amen.